Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride. Oh, yeah.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Well, I have to confess to you folks, I don't have HBO. I don't buy into the extra, the bells and whistles on the cable package. So I try to keep it as main, you know, just basic cable. That's all I need. And even that is, you know, if it didn't come with the Wi-Fi and everything, I probably wouldn't have even done that. I don't watch much TV these days. Caleb Avery, do you guys watch a lot of regular TV?
Live sports is pretty much the only thing I watch on TV. Also, I'll just scan the channels to see if a movie I like is on, but other than that, no.
Yeah, I generally watch, you know, some standard TV channels for a good portion of my time.
Well, I feel bad because I missed Congressman Thomas Massey's big debut on the big screen, HBO. Congressman Massey is one of three Republican members of Congress to be featured in The Swamp. It's a two-hour behind-the-scenes look at what goes on in the nation's capital. Congressman Massey is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Congressman, I feel bad. I guess I should have sprung for the HBO subscription.
Todd, don't feel bad at all. My wife and I cut the cord, our cable cord, 20 years ago. And so we streamed it to watch it, and probably HBO won't be happy with me to tell you this, but you can get a 7-day free trial of HBO Max. You can watch the Swamp documentary, and then you can cancel your subscription, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great bargain.
I think it is a bargain because they spent over $2 million making this movie called The Swamp.
Wow. This is fascinating. I want to get into this because you're not the only Republican. I think Matt Gaetz and
yes.
Congressman Kim, by the way, you know, Congressman Gaetz has a book coming out.
Yes, he does. It's called Firebrand, and he mentions me in it. I'm a little bit scared, but he did show me the page. He says, we need more weirdos in Congress. And then he goes on to talk about me and Louis Gohmert.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, you're in good company. Hey, I have a Gohmert story to share with you. He's got the COVID, so I hope he's doing good. A couple of years ago, more than a couple of years ago, remember when Obama shut down the parks?
Yes, yes.
So I just happened to be working out of the Fox Bureau that day. This is a Saturday. And they were bringing the honor flight. They had an honor flight that had arrived in Washington. These World War II veterans were there to see the World War II memorial. And do you know that Barack Obama, President Obama, had the National Park Service erect these tents, these plastic-style tents around the memorial so the veterans couldn't get through. So I went down there. We were doing a live shot for the channel, and Congressman Gohmert showed up, and there was somebody else, and Michelle Bachmann. She was still in Congress, and all of them had wire cutters, and they went over there and they cut the fence. And I actually had some wire cutters too, and I got them from our engineer, and so we actually committed an act of I guess vandalism.
Well, civil disobedience, but those are your monuments, not Obama's monuments.
Exactly.
And it cost more to close them than it did to keep them open, so that was ridiculous.
All that to say, he may be a weirdo, but he's a good guy, Congressman.
I love him.
Louis Gohmert,
I love him to death. He's one of my best friends in Congress, and I'll say that even if it hurts him.
Well, let's talk about this documentary. Like,
yeah.
Was there like a rose ceremony? I don't know. You know how these reality shows are. I mean, is there some sort of a gimmick? What's going on here?
We gave them unprecedented access for 1 year. I allowed them to come into my office. Matt Gaetz did. They film him talking to the president in the movie. And I don't think the president knows that he was being filmed or that they were recording Matt Gaetz's phone call. But it's all good. The first half, it's a 2-hour movie, and I'm not going to do any spoilers, but I will say that Ken Buck, Matt Gaetz, and I both feel like the producers gave us a fair shake. Every word that you hear us say are actual words we said, and they weren't taken out of context, but it does have a little bit of a slant to the HBO direction. So it's, but it's somewhat miraculous that the three of us got a fair shake in the movie,
yeah.
Even if the movie is, it leans to the left somewhat, in my opinion.
No doubt about that. I mean, just the fact that they didn't take you guys out of context, I would say you guys are winners with HBO for that.
Yes, and I let them on my farm. I had a film crew on my farm. Matt Gaetz let them come to his town halls. Ken Buck went to the shooting range with them. They had unprecedented access. They covered us during the period of the impeachment. And so that's prominent in the movie. There's nobody wearing a mask in the movie because they quit filming in January. Mm. That was the end of the full year that they filmed. And I think people are going to like it because we do expose some things, Ken Buck, Matt Gaetz, and I, that are going to make it hard for us to go back to Congress next week or whenever we go back for that next bill that they're going to vote on.
Oh, this is pretty fascinating, folks. Gotta check this out. It's called The Swamp on HBO, starring our good friend Congressman Thomas Massey. Congressman, how are things looking for November? What's your read on the electorate?
Wow, I'm glad to see. You know, I saw a poll that's turned in Trump's direction, but more importantly, today I saw a video of Joe Biden talking about getting tested for cocaine and lions and tigers. And did you see that one?
Yeah, Caleb, let's play that audio if you don't mind of Joe Biden.
Please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump?
Holy cow. All right, enough of that. Congressman.
it's crazy, and it stays crazy for another minute or two. And so I feel sad for Joe Biden, really, for his mental health. But I think that's going to move the dial. Who is going to vote for somebody that's not mentally competent?
And this idea, you know, they're coming after Trump because, you know, the president picked up on the what he said about not doing the debates. And now they're accusing the president of making that up. That actually happened. There have been talks and strong consideration given to Biden not doing a presidential debate. I'm not sure he could hold up under a debate.
In that audio clip, if you kept going on, he says, "And I'm happy to sit down with the president or stand up with the president."
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he tries to say, "But I am meant," and he can't get the words out that he's mentally competent. He tries three times to say the sentence. I'm telling you, I don't think they're going to let him debate. I just don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to let him out of the basement.
At this point, well, as a matter of fact, they're not. We got word just a little while ago he's not going to deliver his acceptance speech in Milwaukee. He's going to stay at home, and he's going to do it from his home.
You know, I heard he's looking forward to hearing who he picked for his vice president.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, the rumor I heard, geez, Luca, wow, Congressman, that's pretty epic. No, what I heard, because again, there are several people in consideration, and they have to be a black female. I mean, that's the criteria. It doesn't matter, and nothing else matters except for skin color. And I'm wondering if in fact the real reason he's waiting is he's trying to figure out who's the better fit as a home health care provider,
as
opposed to just being vice president.
I don't know, but whoever it is, people better understand that that might be who they're voting for president when they go into it. And I think it's bad for Joe Biden when he goes out there and we see that he's not mentally fit. But it portends well for the president's election in November. And by the way, Todd, however the president does is how well we do in the House of Representatives. Now, every race is, you know, on a case-by-case basis, but on average, if the president wins in a landslide, we'll probably take the House back. And if he doesn't, if it's a close race or he doesn't win, they're going to keep the House most likely.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money there. And of course, we saw what happened in Kansas with Kobach going down in defeat. the interesting part of that story that's not going to get a lot of national coverage is that there was a third candidate, a guy named Campbell, who was a fiercely strong loyalist to the president as well. So I think an argument could have been made that and Marshall seems to be a pretty, you know, pretty solid Trump guy. I mean, you know, it may be a moderate to conservative. He leans, you know, leans right. I think had Kobach not been in the race or the other guy, then I think the strong pro-Trump guy would have won.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think your characterization of Marshall's ideology is correct. He's not a Freedom Caucus. He's not a strong candidate. In fact, he beat a Freedom Caucus member, one of my friends, Tim Hulskamp, to get his seat in the House. And I have to overlook that. You know, I try to get legislation passed. You got some of these guys come in, Republican or Democrat, that beat your friends. And then they're sitting in that seat and you're thinking, man, I'd much rather have my friend there. But you got to work with them.
And again, that's going to happen. And I think I appreciate that diversity in the Republican Party. But the reality is we're fighting for the heart and soul of the country in November. And everybody better be on board that Trump train because we've got to save the country from what these Democrats are going to do to all of us.
Absolutely. And Marshall, even though he's not a Freedom Caucus member, he definitely won't be the most moderate Republican in the Senate. I can guarantee you that.
No, that Willard Romney's still around. So.
That's right. Is he still a Republican? Okay.
Barely. All right. Well, look, we're going to have to leave it there. Congressman, congratulations. This is exciting news, making your big theatrical debut with HBO. Man, you could be winning an Emmy.
I'm in contention for Best Supporting Actor because Matt Gaetz is the star of the show. So Ken Buck and I are competing for Best Supporting Actor.
Wait a minute. Have you seen the book cover? Have you seen his book cover?
No. No.
You gotta check out Matt Gaetz's book cover. So I may have to get him to be my stunt double.
By the way, Ken Buck also has a book. It's called Draining the Swamp, and the movie's kind of based on it. So I'm the only
Fantastic.
Guy without a book. I'm the odd man out. I got nothing to hawk here on your radio show.
Oh, you gotta get a book, Congressman. The most hated man in Washington.
Yes, I'll use CNN's headline. That's the one day they got the news right.
All right, Congressman. Well, look, we're excited to always have you on the program. Congratulations on the big show on HBO.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Dads, grandmas, grandpas, you may not be familiar with this guy, but I suspect your youngsters are. His name is Jake Paul. He's one of these YouTube influencers. Is that the right way to describe it, Avery?
I guess that's what the kids are calling it, but these people are using their quote-unquote the influence for the wrong reasons.
He's 23 years old. How old are you, Avery?
I am 19.
19. All right. So y'all are kind of in that age bracket.
Yeah, we're close.
I feel like an old man now.
Is it nap time yet, Caleb?
I hope so.
All right. Jake Paul is one of these. He does the YouTube pranks. Describe what he does.
I mean, like, I'm not too super familiar with stuff that he has done, but I mean, yeah, he does like prank videos. He does like daily vlogs and things like that, which is basically, you know, you get paid to record yourself in your daily life or something like that, or you know, different things like that. But all I know about him is that he's extremely annoying, and also this isn't the first time. I know what you're wanting to talk about because I did do a little bit of a research on what you're wanting to talk about, but this isn't the first time he's been in the news. It was either him or his brother that actually filmed a dead body in a that was in some sort of cooler or something like that a couple of years ago
in Los Angeles. Yeah, it was one of the homeless encampments.
Yeah.
Oh, what a sleazo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who that guy is. So he got arrested in Phoenix, Arizona. He took part in one of these, I guess, in the pillaging and plundering of a mall in Scottsdale. And so now he's in the headlines again. Something big is going on. The FBI served a search warrant at his mansion in Calabasas. And the video and the images we're seeing, it looks like a small army showed up to serve this search warrant. So something big is going down. Nobody seems to have any information about it, not even TMZ. And normally they know everything.
Oh, yeah.
I like how we just gloss over the fact that this guy has a mansion in Calabasas.
Like 23 years old.
Yeah.
So he also threw a party a couple of weeks ago that had like dozens of people.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that had to have been him.
And they didn't have the masks.
I saw that story, I think, yesterday, mm-hmm. but I didn't read too much in it. I just saw the headline and watched a little bit of video from it.
People are very upset in the neighborhood. He's one of these bad neighbors, too. I remember the neighbors getting very upset because he would do all these things at these awful, ungodly hours, and people are trying to sleep. They don't want to have to put up with that nonsense.
Exactly.
So anyway, we don't know what it is, but we'll let you know if they make any arrests. He has not been arrested, and there's no indication of why it is a massive police and FBI federal presence there, and the warrant is sealed, so it's got to be something rather scandalous. Who knows? But yeah, so the influencers, don't they get like paid to like endorse stuff?
Yeah, basically, influencer is a fancy term for a marketing person, a marketing individual, because, I mean, that's essentially what they do. Like, for YouTube videos a lot now, what you have to do in order to become a quote-unquote YouTuber is, you have to hit a certain amount of subscribers, and what YouTube does is they can you can monetize your videos, as your own original content. But if you break the monetization guidelines, then you can get zero funds off of your videos.
It's a giant bubble, though. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the Fyre Festival fiasco that happened several years back, but
I watched that documentary.
Yes,
that
I was going to recommend. I was going to recommend that to you. That's a great example of how wrong influencers can go.
Yeah, but they get paid from certain companies, like a pretty big one. Like, they can be paid by video game companies or things like that, and for whenever new products are coming out, things like that.
So I got invited to do that on the Instagram. We're getting more and more Instagram followers.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess I'm kind of like the Justin Bieber of, middle-aged conservative women. And so I got a lot of middle-aged conservative women following me. And so I've gotten two or three, but my favorite one, and we've turned all three down. It was a one of these medical marijuana dispensaries.
Oh, fun. That would have been Todd, we would have made so much money off of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure we would have been able to make it through the show, though.
Todd Starnes goes green.
Hey, everybody. Todd Starnes here. We're the Munchies. We got any Funyuns? Where's Avery? He's taking a nap. Anyway, got to take a break here. Maybe we ought to rethink that. I mean, if they're going to pay us, we don't have to smoke it, right? I think maybe like gummy bears? I don't know. Anyway, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. By the way, the live show blog is up and running, and Avery's got some great stories for you to check out there. Interesting piece out of the state of Florida. This is from Fox Business. A Florida man is facing charges after he used a fake check to buy a $140,000 Porsche. Casey Kelly is 42 years old, charged with grand theft of a motor vehicle and using a false banknote. That's according to the Walton County Sheriff's Office. They say that he drove off a Porsche dealership in a 911 Turbo He allegedly handed over a cashier's check that he printed from his home computer to buy the car. The car was then later reported stolen to the sheriff's department. He also tried to buy three Rolex watches. He wrote a check for $61,521. This was in Miramar Beach. The jeweler, though, he knew something was up. He goes, wait a second, nobody writes a check. Does anybody write it? Does anybody still use checks?
I had to write a check a couple of months ago. I forget what it was for, but I actually had to call my mom and be like, wait a second, how do I do this again? Because I've done it like twice in my life.
I have never had to have written a check before. Never had to.
Never in your life?
Never had to. Mainly so just because in the past like two or so years I've just now gotten my debit card about 2 years ago. So
you just use the debit card.
It's a lot easier.
That's what I do. I sometimes have cash, but it's mostly debit card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, what do they say now? The cash is dirty. People are afraid to take cash.
Fun fact,
some businesses won't even take it.
I'll take it. Yeah, give it to me.
I'll take it. Give me a glove. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take your money. But this guy, can you imagine, though? All right, sir, that's $61,521. Do you take a check? Yes, yeah, sure.
It's just like, all right, I got you. Don't worry about it.
Wow. My goodness. Well, good for him. So anyway, he's in jail, and he won't be writing any more checks. So.
See, like in instances like that, yeah, like with the, like what you were saying with the jeweler when he was trying to buy three Rolex watches, why didn't the car – I mean, I do understand why the car dealership didn't think that was weird, because that's how we purchased my truck, was through a check. But, I mean, come on. Sometimes you got to look into this stuff. You got to use some sort of context clues.
When I decided to buy the 2020 Cadillac, and I went to the Hayes Cadillac dealership there in North Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Not too far. A fine sponsor over at WDUN, oh, yeah. By the way.
They're great.
And I went over there, and, you know, I had to turn over. I mean, and they knew me. They're like, oh, my goodness. You know, we're huge fans. And they brought out the staff. Hey, can we get a picture together? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm thinking, you know, what a nice group of people. And, of course, you know, I asked for the discount. You know, you try to negotiate. And they gave me a pretty good deal.
I was just about to ask that.
It wasn't a great deal. It was but it was a good deal. It was a good deal. I was hoping for 50% off, but they weren't willing to go down there. But you know what? As soon as I sat down to do business after all the, we're big fans of the show and we listen all the time. You know what they did? I had to turn over every piece of documentation in my life, my driver's license, my birth certificate, my passport. I mean, just I was hauling out stuff left and right trying to prove who I was.
You have to give your passport. I've never had a passport, so I don't know. You have to give your passport?
No, not really. But I was trying to make a point here, Caleb, is that they require a lot of info. You're just not going to walk in and write a check for $140,000 and walk out with. I didn't pay that for the car, by the way, and walk out with a 2020 Cadillac.
I was about to have some more questions about that car. Bought the Batmobile, apparently.
It's a sweet ride, though. It's got the what I love about it. It has cameras all around the. Well, anyway, that's a story for another day. But it's all that to say, though, I mean, for the guy just to walk in and say, you know what, I'll have that Porsche there, and who do I make the check out to?
Yeah, part of that's on the dealership for sure.
You think? I think so, definitely. So, but I am curious, though, if there is anybody in the audience who still uses, are you old school? Do you go with the check? You know what I just started doing? I used to go to the bank. Because we would get a lot of checks, and I would go to the bank and I would deposit the check. But now you can just take a picture of it, and it's automatically deposited.
Yeah, that's what I've done. I've always done. Anytime I've had to actually get checks and cash them, I always just direct deposit them, and just do it as soon as I get home.
Yeah, there you go.
I still take mine to the bank, just because I did not know you could take pictures of your checks and have them deposited.
Avery learned something today.
I will now be doing that.
Well, Avery, no, you still got to go because when you go to the bank, they'll give you like a lollipop.
Yeah, remember? No, you get the dum dum.
There's that. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I love the green flavor. It's very tasty.
Green, my favorite flavor.
Wow, Lawrence, Kansas, Aaron Coleman, the Democrat running for something there. I guess, the state house. So get this. In Kansas, you don't have to be a certain age to run for public office. So they have 14 and 15-year-old kids running for, you know, elected office. And I think that's a pretty frightening idea, but it's Kansas. What are you going to do? So this guy by the name of Aaron Coleman, he is 19 years old, and he's running for a seat in the state legislature. In 2018, so he would have been 17 years old, he ran for governor. Avery, have you run for public office yet?
I mean, I was in student council in high school, but other than that.
All right. Well, you got to put that on the resume.
I got to
put that on the resume.
We need to start a campaign. We need to have Avery running for some sort of state or national office because
really not like
we could
that.
Put a campaign together.
Oh, look, I would volunteer to be your press secretary.
Oh, if that's the case, Todd, then the election's in the bag already.
Governor Bryson.
I don't like that. That sounds like, I mean, I generally like to think I'm a pretty responsible person, but I don't want to be in charge of an entire state.
Claremont, Georgia has a mayor, right?
Yes.
He's about to have a challenger.
The mayor of Claremont. Oh, now that is a doable thing. I mean, do they currently have a mayor?
Yes, they do currently have a mayor.
All right. Well, is he up for re-election?
I don't know. My mom works for the town of Claremont, though.
Oh,
insider.
There could be some nepotism there. but you know what? Hey, look, I mean, you had George H.W. Bush as president, then George W. Bush as president. So maybe there could be like a family dynasty starting.
That is true. I do believe the mayor listens to this show every once in a while. So don't worry. I'm not going to steal your job. I promise.
That's what he says. That's what he says, Mr. Mayor. You got to watch out for these youngsters. So what are your credentials? So you ran for student council.
I was a member of Beta Club when I was in high school as well. I can't believe I'm not the alpha.
Are you a beta? You're not an alpha.
I don't know why it's called beta Club.
That'll be used against you in the marketing campaign. We might not want to announce that.
One thing also, I can't believe I'm going to say this on air, but you know what? Here we are. I'm going to do it anyways. I was homecoming king my senior year in high school. That was a lot of fun. He's telling the truth.
We have photo evidence of this. Yeah, this is true.
Uh-huh. Does the radio station know this?
Yeah, yeah. North Hall High School.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. I did. I came into work like the day after or like the week after.
I remember this. He comes in, Todd, and we're all sitting in the morning around at our computers, and Avery goes, "So have you guys looked at Facebook today? There's a picture on there.
You should probably go look at it."
Do you get like a crown? How does that work?
I didn't, and I was actually really sad. I got a sash, and that was it.
A sash.
The queen got a crown, obviously.
He is beta, so.
There we go. It's already being used against me with my own press secretary. So,
hey, look, you got to get ahead of this stuff. You got to get it out there.
You're right.
So they can't bring it up if you're exposing your own dirt.
Yeah, then they don't have anything
against you.
You're so
they
right.
can't use it against you.
That's why I hired you, Todd.
All right. Look, Congressman Avery Bryson, we're just going to up you to a congressman.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, I've got to tell this story, though. So we've got Aaron Coleman, 19 years old, and he is he's a pretty nasty fella. He attacked, he mocked the death of Herman Cain, who, as you know, passed away. He got the virus, and it was a tragic thing. And so he mocked Herman Cain, and then he goes after his opponent, who was a talk radio host in Wichita, Kansas, former state representative John Whitmer. And he said he would giggle. This is the 19-year-old. The 19-year-old said he would giggle if the state representative was killed by the China virus. So he's doing an interview with this kid, and he says, "Mask it or casket" is a factual statement. It's not politics. It's a factual statement. These Democrats, what is in the water? What are the Democrats drinking here, folks? I mean, this is some pretty sick and twisted stuff. So the guy goes on to defend it all. And I want to read this from the KansasReflector.com. The kid said he was responsible for a post to Facebook that expressed glee at the reality of Herman Cain's death and the prospects of the radio host's demise. It offered an image of Jesus lifting his clothing to reveal a portion of his rear end and the text, "Don't wear a mask so we can be together forever." This is a sicko. The guy goes on to say, "John, I'm going to laugh and giggle when you get China virus and die. At least we can say you died doing what you love. Ask your buddy, Herman Cain, how it worked out for him." What a sicko this dude is. These are the kinds of candidates the Democrats are putting forward. I'm telling you, we said this earlier in the week. The problem in America right now, not so much politics. This is an issue of the heart right here, folks. We're talking about some really dark, dark people. They are just, you don't want to say soulless. Everybody has a soul. But their souls have been darkened. It's really pathetic. And again, where are the Democrats coming out and rebuking this young man, 19 years old? Where is he getting this from? Unbelievable. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
More history classes in the state of Illinois. State Representative LaShawn Ford said that the current history classes in public schools lead to a racist society and overlook the contributions of the women folk and minorities. So now he is calling for a new plan to teach kids about history. He released a statement called the Abolishment of History Classes in Illinois Schools. That's the name of the press release. And he's very upset. He says that history classes, the way they are currently taught in Illinois, lead to white privilege and a racist society. Oh, the guy's a Democrat, in case you were wondering. When it comes to teaching history in Illinois, we need to end the miseducation of Illinoisans, Mr. Ford said. He goes on to say that in addition to, so they're going to get rid of the current history, which I would imagine would be, all right, George Washington and the cherry tree and the whatnot. So the whole Founding Fathers, the War of Northern Aggression, I kid, it's Civil War, all right, don't call Avery and cuss me out. So all of that kind of stuff. So that goes away. So we're going to go ahead and just forget about, we're going to erase history in Illinois. And now they want to start teaching the kids in grade school, like first and second grade, about the Civil Rights Movement. Look, I don't have a problem with that. It's a part of a history. But they also want to have history lessons that focus on women and the LGBTQ community. And all of these groups now are partnering together, also the Latinx community and Native Americans. But I do have to say that the lawmaker made a mistake because he called them Native Indians. And I don't think you can do that. That is a faux pas, I do believe. So there you have it. In Illinois, they literally want to erase history. And I can assure you that whatever comes after that will be nothing more than indoctrination. From FoxNews.com, Mayor Bill de Blasio from New York City announces they are setting up coronavirus checkpoints to make sure people are following quarantine rules. The mayor says these are required, not optional, and if you violate the quarantine rules, you could face a fine up to $10,000. So here's how it's going to work. So if you show up in New York City from, let's see here. We've got a long list of states. All right, let's say that, let's see, I'm scrolling through here. All right, let's say that you're coming to New York City from Chattanooga, Tennessee, or Morehead City, North Carolina, or Pascagoula, Mississippi, where the squirrel went berserk, and the first self-righteous church. Google it. Let's say that you are on an airplane. You know everybody's going to end up at Hartsfield-Jackson, and so once you get there, everybody's on the plane together. You land at LaGuardia, and before you get off that airplane, you're going to run into a quarantine checkpoint. And because the state of Mississippi and North Carolina and Tennessee are on the quarantine list, and there are a lot of states, you will have to fill out a traveler form, and you must quarantine yourself. Now, this is where I get confused. So let's just say you're going up for the weekend. You want to catch a Broadway show, but you can't do that because there are no Broadway shows. But let's just say, for the sake of the argument here, the conversation, let's just say you're flying up for the weekend. You're going to take the missus out for a lovely night on Broadway. You're going to eat over at, one of the delicious steakhouses, Gallagher's. You're going to get a nice table at Gallagher's and eat a steak, and then you're going to fly back home. No. Can't do that. Now you've got to stick around for 14 days. So how does that work? Are you supposed to quarantine yourself in your hotel room for 14 days and then go out to eat at Gallagher's, the steakhouse, and go catch the Lion King on Broadway? Is that what we're supposed to do? Who's got that kind of money? Who's got that kind of time? I'm telling you, New York City is toast. Toast, folks. Toast. So there you have it. If you're planning on going to New York, don't. That's the bottom line. Just stay away from New York City. There is nothing good for you there. And I'm sure there are plenty of other great places around the country where you could spend your vacation dollars. All right, look, very excited about the next hour. Senator Rand Paul's going to drop by. Also, we're expecting Pastor John MacArthur from Grace Community Church. We've got some breaking news to share with you. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.